You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
The title of today's message is Loving Authentically. Just finished up the book of Joshua. We'll be popping into another sermon series soon. We got Mother's Day coming up, and so we'll just take a look at something that is near and dear to my heart. When I was young, and a little fella, if you can believe it, I had a pirate chest. It was beautifully carved and ornate. And I fantasized all the time about its origin being plumbed from the depths of the sea, no doubt belonging to Blackbeard or Bluebeard or Purplebeard or whatever all the beards were. And I knew it was one of those beards. I just was pretty sure. I stored really important stuff that kids have, like one of your lost teeth or a coin or something from somewhere, and I put it in there, man. It was where I put my special stuff in this authentic treasure box. And so I remember being so proud and excited about this box. I was like, okay, I'm going to bring this to show and tell with me to school. And so I brought this box with me, and the teacher was very complimentary of my makeup box that I had brought to school. And as you can imagine, for a little boy who sincerely believed it was a treasure chest from pirates, I left sort of discouraged that day. There is all the difference in the world between something that is authentic and something that is fake. A real treasure chest would bring real treasure. Pretend treasure chests don't. In a world of phonies and flakes, there needs to be people who really love and really care. You don't have to look far. The phonies and the balonies, they're everywhere. People that really care for one another is a rare thing. So as believers, we must strive to love others with authenticity. So we're looking at verse 9. Now we're going to read through several other verses when we get to that point. But this is the main bulk of the verse I want to focus on today is Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Paul's writing, he says, let love be genuine. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for those who have come to meet with you today. And so, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us, you would challenge us, however you need to work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help me to decrease, Lord, and for you to increase, that you would speak to me, that you would meet with us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one is we see a love that cares. Point number one, love that cares. See, our world desperately wants to love and be loved, but they're not very good at it. We have books and movies and songs that are about love, but our world is not very good at loving one another. If you believe this or not, the statistics are always sort of tricky, but statistics show that every major age group of humanity, every age group, depression is growing. And every single one of those categories. Americans that were polled, over 50% said they feel lonely, that they live a life of loneliness. Now, there's a lot of reasons that can come behind some of these statistics that I just shared, and I'm not saying this is the only solution to it, but I think a lot of the problem is people lack genuine, authentic relationships where they are loved authentically, genuinely by somebody else, and then they have the privilege of loving other people genuinely. In our passage today, verse 9, it says, let love be genuine. There are several words for love in the New Testament. You guys know some of them, and there are several words in the original language, and the one that we'll be focusing on today is the word agape, love. That's what the word literally means here, is translated here. See, agape love is the selfless, unconditional expression of grace and compassion. This is best exemplified by God's agape love towards sinners. Sinners who had nothing to offer God, who stood guilty before a holy God, and yet God loves us anyway, has shown us grace and mercy and kindness to a people who had nothing to offer Him. This is the picture of love, agape love that you see all throughout the New Testament. But God's not the only one who can show agape love, that humans can show agape, selfless love to other people. See, the use of agape love was rare in pagan Greek literature. So rare that for the longest time, scholars thought that Christians made up the word agape to describe the type of love that they have, because it's used so infrequently in regular pagan literature. But they did find it there. It's just used infrequently. And here's why. It's because the Greek and Romans thought that sort of love was useless. A selfless love that cares about people who can give nothing back had no place in Roman and Greek society. It was considered weak, and so it was unused. My grandpa, who was a Presbyterian minister and was a godly man, was in the hospital bed one day in the latter years of his life. And I remember my cousin going up there and visiting with him. And he said my grandpa was just sitting in his bed and he was kind of quiet and contemplating things. And he said, agape! Which is, you know, not what people are normally thinking about in the hospital bed, I suppose. But he said, agape! My cousin was like, what? And then he says, oh, I was just thinking about the agape love of God. And I was thinking about the enormity of that love. He said tears began rolling down my grandpa's face, as they often did, and began laughing, thinking about this agape love of God. How enormous that concept truly is. Just looking at this passage, I want to look at three ways our love can be selfless, authentic, genuine love. And I think this passage gives us some clear indications of what that looks like. So in the same chapter of chapter 12, let's look at verse 1 and 2. It says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, being pushed into a mold, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So a great way to be authentic love is to have sacrificial love. Willing to deprive yourself, willing to deprive myself of something. Now that could be credit or glory, when maybe I felt that I deserved it, but I'm willing to step aside and watch somebody else get that praise and glory because I want them to be uplifted. I'm willing to sacrifice that. Sometimes it comes in the form of money or food that's given, or sacrificing our time, but it's depriving ourselves, offering up our lives as a sacrifice, a holy sacrifice to God and then to each other. Says in this passage that we are transformed by the renewal of your mind. See, sacrificial minds, transformed minds, renewed minds are more concerned with Christ's exaltation than self-exaltation. We're willing to put other people's needs above our own. The story is told of a chicken and a pig who were walking down the street, and they saw a sign on the grocery store that said, eggs and bacon desperately needed. Please help. And it's a true story, right? And so the chicken says, Hey, and he tells the pig, he said, well, let's do our part. He said, I'm willing to contribute. How about you? And the pig said, no. The chicken said, why? He said, well, for you, it's a contribution. But for me, it's a sacrifice. And the truth of the matter is the type of love that God wants from us is not simply love that contributes to other people, but is sacrificial. That is willing to take the things that we have and give them to other people. So just so we can move a little faster, we have a sacrificial love, but look at verse 3. It says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So a sober love, I'm not talking about not a drunk love, but a serious type of love. A love that is willing to look at myself for who I am before God, not puffing myself up, not dragging myself down, but giving a fair, accurate assessment of who I am. This is a perfect definition of humility. You can write that in your Bible. This is how the Bible defines humility. And when we have an accurate understanding of who we are, then we can love people for who they really are. Because when we see who we really are before God, and we haven't puffed ourselves up, haven't dragged ourselves down, and then we can see that we are used by God, that we are flawed people, and that we can still love people because they are flawed. We don't have to shun them, or we can love other people in their flaws, in their imperfections, because we understand that we are flaw, and that we are not perfect. Sober love is necessary to be authentic. A serving love. Look at me in verses 4 through 7. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because we're going to be in this passage in a couple weeks, and so I want to not spend a bunch of time here. But 4 through 7 says this, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members are one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching the one who exhorts, in his exhortation the one who contributes, in generosity the one who leads, with zeal the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. That we are to be serving other people as a way to have really authentic love. Meeting needs, practical, and meeting needs that are spiritual. Practically meeting needs, not just talking about it. 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us love in word. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That talk is cheap, and talk without action doesn't mean a whole lot to most people. But specifically, we have the ability to serve with our spiritual gifts. That's what this passage is talking about. That's what we're going to talk about in a couple weeks, that God has given you gifts, and you're going to be most effective when you are using the gifts that God has given you. I'm not saying you can't serve and work in other areas, but God has given you gifts to use, and so you and I must use them. You see, to love and be loved are our greatest needs. It can only truly be experienced within Christian love. And you know what? You and I have that. You and I have experienced the selfless, agape love of God. And so we are overflowing with it. We are filled with this love of God that we're not manufacturing it. We're not trying to work something out. No, God has filled us with His love, and then we as outlets of that love other people in a world that desperately needs authentic love. We see a love. Point number one is a love that cares. Point number two is a love that pretends. Our world is full of inauthentic relationships. People know people at work and they're friendly with people, but they're not friends. And people can come to a church and you can smile through your teeth and shake somebody's hands, and just like in that video that we watched at the beginning, saying, oh yeah, my life is good, I'm great, but man, that you're really hurting, that you're really going through something difficult right now. Maybe it was brought on by your own making. Maybe it was happening by circumstances. It doesn't matter, but you're really hurting. And so you can have inauthentic relationships, even in a church, if we're not careful. Social media, people are putting on their best foot forward, and people have hundreds, maybe sometimes even 1,000 friends on different media outlets, but they don't know any of these people, and they are not known truly themselves. Verse 9 says, "Let love be genuine." The word translated genuine is anupokritos, where we get our word for a hypocrite in this word. Anupokritos means without deception or hypocrisy. So to love, to be genuine, literally means without hypocrisy. He says, love without hypocrisy. Some of your versions will even say that in the Bible. Jesus' harshest words came against hypocrites. I mean, when Jesus is letting some guys have it, just guarantee they are hypocrites. People in the Bible, mainly the Pharisees, who were saying one thing, they were putting on one thing, but they were acting, or they were in their heart, they were completely different than the actions that they espoused. And our culture has a radar for hypocrisy, doesn't it? Man, they'll be watching for it. And you say, I'm a believer at work, and they'll be watching you. And if you slip up with your language or you treat somebody badly, and they're looking out for it. And so live without hypocrisy does not mean perfectly, because that is obviously not in our own ability. But to live without it to the best of our ability, serving, sacrificing, doing that soberly. So what does it mean to love without hypocrisy? That's what the Bible asks us to do. Let's see what the Bible says about hypocrisy. I'll turn to a couple passages. You don't have to turn there with me unless you want to. It's kind of hard to keep up sometimes. But this is one of the first things the Bible stands against. Hypocrisy, the first clear picture we see with Jesus is putting on a show. Now I have some pictures here I wanted to show. So Greek actors were known as hypocrites. That's what they were called. And they wore exaggerated masks to depict different feelings. And I see I have a couple pictures, and you can scan through some of the other ones. And some are real masks that the Greek actors would put on their face. And they would say, hey, we are hypocrites. I don't know what show that one would have been about, but that looks pretty scary. That's enough of the pictures. They would put on these shows put on these masks to depict certain things, depict certain emotions and feelings. See, the Bible says that we act hypocritically when we try to make the outside look better than the inside. We're familiar with this passage in Matthew chapter 23, and it says this. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but the inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, the outside may also be clean." He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness." See, hypocrisy is the opposite of self-forgetfulness. A person who struggles with inauthentic love, hypocritical love, is overly concerned with how will I appear? Did I make a good impression of myself? And when you're overly concerned with you, you cannot be concerned with other people. And the hypocrite is concerned exclusively, or maybe more emphatically, with the outside of themselves, but they're not all that concerned about the inside. They're really concerned about making a good impression, but they don't really care about what's really inside. And Jesus stood against that. He said, "You are like whitewashed tombs." We know that the Jews would paint their tombs white so that they wouldn't touch them and become unclean according to their laws. And Jesus said that you're beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones. You're full of a corpse inside you if you are fixing up the outside but not allowing God to work on the inside. See, we put forward what looks like loving behavior that does not really signify the way we feel inside. And you and I, when we do that, we are guilty of having inauthentic, not genuine love. We're putting on a show. Never been there before? We all struggle with this from time to time. We all struggle with wanting to make the outside look better than the inside. A fun story I heard was there was a guy that was working at the zoo, and the zoo had lost one of its favorite exhibits. Its gorilla had died, and so people came there and spent a lot of money to see this gorilla. So before the zoo could get another gorilla there, they said, "Hey, we got an idea. Let's put one of these zookeepers," and said, "Hey, you put on this gorilla suit real quickly, and so we can get another gorilla." So he says, "Okay, sure, fine." So he goes out there, and he's not exactly sure how to act like a gorilla, but he starts doing the things that gorillas do, and he's eating some bananas, and the crowd start gathering around him. He's like, "Okay, I can maybe handle this," and starts getting a little more excited and start doing what gorillas do. And he gets even more excited, starts swinging from ropes. And then he accidentally falls into the next exhibit over, which happens to be the lion's exhibit. And so he looks up and he falls in, and there's a lion staring right at him. He's staring right into the mouth of a hungry lion. And so the zookeeper can't keep the act up anymore, and he starts screaming, "Help! Help!" And then he hears this, all of a sudden the lion begins to talk. He said, "Shh, be quiet, you're going to get us both fired." Putting on a show. We all been there. We all want to make the outside look different than the inside if we're not careful. When we have our minds renewed and the Holy Spirit is working in us, then we can put on the outside what is really on the inside. See, love doesn't put up artificial fronts. Love doesn't crave the praise of men. Love doesn't act religious to hide sin. We see a hypocrisy that's putting on a show. We also see a hypocrisy that puts others down. See, many times that we like to hide our own flaws by drawing attention to other people. Luke 6:42 says this in a passage that I'm sure you're familiar with as well. Jesus says, "How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your own eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." Authentic love is free from all pretense and hypocrisy. And if you look closely, you'll see what the gospel sets you free from. Sometimes we just say, the gospel saves us from sin, and that's true. But sometimes it's good to think on what the gospel really has saved you from when you've trusted Christ. When he says that you're completely accepted in my love. Jesus says, because you are considered holy because of my blood, because of my sacrifice, you're accepted by God. That I don't have to compete. I don't have to compare myself to other people. I don't have to do this rat race. So many other people spend their whole life doing. My neighbor's got a better house and a bigger this and a better that. And I got to keep up with them. And the gospel says, no. You are accepted completely in Jesus Christ. So I don't have to compete with people. I don't have to compare myself with them. When I'm not fooling around with trying to compete and compare with other people, then I can love them. Are you with me, church? Then that once my hands are untied, then I can finally serve. That's what the gospel does for you. That's one of the things the gospel does for you. During Christmas time, the people wrap up presents in a lot of different ways. Maybe from my personal experience, women generally are better and more concerned about wrapping presents than men. That's maybe not always true, but that's certainly true in my household. And people will even pay. I don't get it. They'll pay to wrap a present. But who cares about the wrapping paper? People care about what the gift is, right? You've been there, man. I've seen my wife just put all this tape on there just the right way. And these little bows, and my children, like little Tasmanian devils, just tear it up, you know? And I'm thinking, guess why? Because they care about what's on the inside. Who cares how fancy the wrapping paper is on the outside? But some people have well-wrapped cars, well-wrapped houses, well-wrapped jobs, our neighborhoods. But I'm telling you, friend, God cares about what's on the inside. God can see what's on the inside. So we need to be concerned with what God can see. So we can act in sincerity. We can act authentically. We can be genuine lovers of other people. You know, Jesus never acted hypocritically, not once in his entire life. Jesus was exactly who he said he was. Everything that Jesus did and showed and cared and did for other people, that's exactly who he was. That's exactly how he felt. That's exactly what he believed. Everything that he said he was going to do, he did exactly all those things. Now, you and I don't have, we're not Jesus, but we do have the power of Jesus in us, and we can live with his power without hypocrisy. Genuinely loving and caring for other people. And everything we do for this church, I hope that we are striving to love other people authentically, loving them genuinely. So as we move into this invitation time today, responding to God's Word, can I ask you a couple of questions? Are you overly concerned about your appearance, your impression, or are you concerned about what is on the inside? Friend, your love should bring you to selfless action that cares for other people, that acts. Now, there's a time for teaching, obviously. There's a time for talking, but our talk must be backed up with loving, selfless action. A love that cares for other people. I'm telling you, Sabino Road, I don't want people to be saying, hey man, Sabino Road's got a beautiful facility or fun signs. I want people to know Sabino Road by selfless, caring people. And they said, Sabino Road, wait a second. You're the church that cares about people. You're the church that helps other people. I mean, really helps. But you guys are being real with one another. I like that. I want to be a part of that. I'm telling you, our world desperately needs people who can live and love authentically. And I encourage you not to be overly concerned with the outside. Now, this is difficult because this is how our world views things. This is how our world judges value on what you can put on the outside. But I'm telling you, there's an opinion that's far more valuable than anybody in this room. And that's God. The question is, God, what do you think about me? What do you think about what's happening on the inside? That's what we need to be concerned with. You say, you know what? I know that in my heart, my actions and what I actually am on the inside have not lined up. I'm not trying to bring guilt and shame. I'm trying to bring you to the reality of the joy that comes from living in a consistent lifestyle. So turn from your hypocrisy and live the love and live the life that God wants you to live. He's empowered you to do it. He's instructed you how to do it in His Word. And turn from that sin today. You don't have to go down that road anymore. You can free yourself from competing and comparing with other people, and then you can serve other people. You know who you are in Christ Jesus. Turn from that. Turn to Christ. You know, the greatest form of hypocrisy that I think has the greatest concern are those people who act like Christians, who maybe say that they're Christians, but they're not really Christians. There's no more dire consequences than that, friend. I believe with all my heart that there are probably lost people in here this morning. People who may have said, yeah, I've gone to church. I've had some experience. I maybe even got dunked in water at one point in time, but I don't know Jesus Christ, and I'm telling people that I know Jesus Christ. Friend, can I tell you, really know Jesus Christ. Today, this very moment when we sing, say, God, Lord, I love you. I trust you. I turn from my sins. I ask for your forgiveness. I trust you to be my Savior. I'm tired of pretending to be something that I'm not. I've seen deacons' wives turn from that. Now, I'm not calling out deacons' wives today, but I'm just saying there are always people who struggle with this in church. And I believe there's somebody in this room who says they're a believer. Maybe other people believe, but you know in your heart of heart that you have not given your life over to Christ. Do that today. God wants to save you. He'll do it. I love you, church. Let me pray for you. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are everything you said you were, that you did everything you said you would do. Lord, forgive us when we put on a show, trying to impress other people, trying to validate ourselves. Forgive us. Help us to turn from that. Lord, help us not just to turn from that, but Lord, to free us to serve other people, to look to other people outside of ourselves. Help us, this church, to be known as a church that cares sincerely about other people. Lord, I pray for those in this room who do not know you. Maybe they've gone to church. Maybe they've had some spiritual, emotional experience, but they have never turned from their sin, asked for forgiveness from you, and trusted you to be their only way of salvation. Lord, help them to do that today. Help them to come forward and talk with me. Help them talk to their Christian friends. In this church, not leave unsure where they'll spend eternity. So we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.